This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
And you need to actively and aggressively believe your sins are forgiven. God loves you. He's got a good plan for your life. Amen. That you've been made right with him, that you don't have to live under guilt and condemnation. That's the only way, even though you're going to go to heaven when you die, if you want to enjoy the journey, you got to believe all this other stuff too. Going to talk to you this morning about promises that God makes to the righteous. I was just noticing in my Bible as I read on a regular basis that there's a lot of promises that are made to the righteous. So the first thing we want to do is establish who are the righteous. Well, the righteous are not just people who go to church. They're not just people who know a little bit of the Bible or who pray a little prayer once a day. The righteous are not even just really good people who just really try to follow all the rules and all the regulations and all the biblical laws. The truly righteous person can only be righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. What an amazing opportunity we have. You know what? The devil wants you to feel wrong about yourself constantly. I remember for years and years, because of the way I grew up, I had this little recording playing in my head. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Do you ever think that? What is wrong with me? You know, we look at other people and we think, well, why can't I behave like them? And honestly, they're looking at you thinking, why can't I be like you? I mean, the enemy wants us to always have this vague sensing that something is wrong with us. Or how about this one? That we're not doing enough. We did a little survey in our office and just asked people, tell us when you get to heaven, what is one of the first things that you would love to ask God? Or if you could ask a question right now while you're still here on the earth and get an answer from God, what would you want to know? And you know what a lot of them said? I would love to know when I'm doing enough. You know what? People are just exhausted from trying to do what they think that God wants them to do and from trying to be some kind of a perfect example of everything all the time. And that is not the way that God wants us to live. He doesn't want you to have wrongness. He wants you to have righteousness. And so one of the first things that we should learn as a believer, sad to say, we don't learn it. But if you're somewhere where you're being taught properly, you won't just go to church and hear about the rules and the regulations or even just doctrinal things. You won't just hear about taking communion and just different things like that. You're going to hear about who you are in Christ. Because if you never learn what this does to you to have Christ in your life, it doesn't just give you a ticket out of hell and into heaven, but you become something totally different. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become brand new. And we don't have to wait to get to heaven to have a great life. You can have a great life right here, right now, even while everything in your circumstances is not perfect. If you feel right on the inside and you feel good about yourself on the inside, not because you do everything perfect, but because you know that God has promised that if you put your faith in Jesus, that you will be viewed as being in right standing with him. This is probably even more important than what we know. And I've taught on righteousness for years and years, but even studying for this again, I mean, I'm diligent about my study. I mean, I put this message together several weeks ago, but I started studying to bring this to you, going over it and over it and over it, like as early as Monday and Tuesday of last week. And I've gone over this and over it and over it and over it, because when I get up here, I want to share something with you that's going to be life-changing for you. And so even in going over this and over it, it still is just, it's amazing that Jesus took our sin, took all the punishment that we deserved, and has set us free from the penalty you no longer have to pay. Amen? And righteousness doesn't come to us because we do everything right. It comes to us because we know we cannot ever do enough right to deserve a relationship with God. And so we receive His righteousness through faith. We believe it. And then because of knowing who you are, you will want to spend. You won't feel like you have to. You will want to spend the rest of your life, every day of your life, trying every day to do as many right things as you possibly can, not because you think you have to get something from God, but because of what He has already done for you, you are compelled to serve Him. It is so simple when we hear it. But I was in church for years and years and years before I ever heard anything like that. I heard things like, you're just a poor, miserable sinner. Well, I mean, we do sin. There's no doubt about that. And more than likely, every day. But my identity, who I am, is in Christ. It's not, I'm a poor, miserable, wicked, wretched, I'm that without God. But if I'm going to still be that with God, then what's the point? Amen? And I'm not just, I wonder if you can even begin to imagine, some of you who don't yet have this revelation, how it changes your life to not have to be mad at yourself all the time. And to not have this little feeling that something's wrong with you and you may not make it and you need to try to do something else. Well, maybe if you read the Bible more, maybe if you pray more, maybe if you do more good works, then maybe you'll feel better about yourself. And God's never going to let you have it that way, because that is self-righteousness. It's not the God kind of righteousness. It is self-righteousness. And so I want to press this point for a few minutes, because before I go into this promises made to the righteous, you have to know what it means to be viewed as a person that is the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Does anybody need this today? You want to feel a little bit better about it? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, He made Christ virtually, that means really, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through Him we might become endued with, viewed as, being in and examples of the righteousness of God. What we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with Him by His goodness. Now, to be honest, you could take that one verse and study it for the next 2 weeks. And maybe if that's all you looked at for 2 weeks and thought about it and meditated on it, it might begin to start to sink in. Jesus took your sin because He's good, not because you're good. He took the penalty. He took the punishment. And He gave you His righteousness that He earned by never doing anything wrong. And we can't figure it out mathematically in our head, but the Bible says that if we believe that, then God views us, or He sees us, as His very own righteousness, because He sees us through Christ. He sees us. He doesn't see us in our old sinful state. He sees us as these new creatures that we are. Where? Inside. In our spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. So you have all this amazingly wonderful good stuff on the inside of you. Now you still have a flesh too that has the sin principle in it. This is why after you become a really committed Christian, you sometimes feel that you're in a war all the time. Do you ever feel like you're two people? The thing I want to do, I can't do. The thing I don't want to do, I'm always doing. I mean, I can make such plans for holiness laying in bed. I mean, I'm not going to say anything wrong that day. I'm going to be so submissive and such a good wife, and I'm not going to talk back, and I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to gossip about anybody. I mean, I'm so good until I put my feet on the floor. But I tell you what, if you want to make the devil mad, how many of you want to make the devil mad? Make a decision and study until you get it, how to live your life in such a way that when you make mistakes, you tell God right away, as soon as he convicts you, I'm sorry, that's not the way I want to live. And then you refuse to carry a burden of guilt and condemnation all day. That is one of the hardest things in the world to do. I want to put up a little ledger that God gave me, this little creative idea many years ago, and we use it sometimes when we're doing altar calls to get people to understand what happens to them when they're born again. So can we put my little ledger up, guys? Take a look. This is your life. That says it all right there, doesn't it? Now, I'm not going to tell you that it's not hard to grasp. That's why we have to keep hearing it and keep hearing it and keep hearing it and keep hearing it. I have probably said possibly a million times in my life, in my own private life, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Through his goodness and mercy, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You better always say in Christ, because you certainly don't have it in yourself. Okay, now, Paul prayed, and he was a man who, I mean, man, he followed the law. He was a Pharisee. He was highly educated. According to the law's standards, he would have been a right-on guy. And yet, Paul prayed in Philippians 3, that he would be found and known as in Christ, not having any righteousness of his own, but only that righteousness that comes to us through faith in Christ. See, one of our biggest problems is as soon as we do a few things right, then we start to think that we're right, and then we start to judge everybody else that's not as right as we are. Isn't it amazing when you're good at something, how easy it is to get aggravated with people that aren't good at what you're good at? Anybody? One person over here who understands this. But see, God wants us to realize that we all have faults and weaknesses, and if we're strong in an area, it's because of God's grace. Let's look at just a couple scriptures. Romans 3:20. For no person will be justified, freed of guilt, and declared righteous in his sight by trying to do the works of the law. For through the law, we become conscious of sin, and the recognition of sin directs us toward repentance, but it provides no remedy for sin. You see, it does not, the law never provides a remedy for sin. But the righteousness of God has been clearly revealed apart from the law, even though it is confirmed by the law and the writings of the prophets. It goes on to say, and this righteousness comes only through faith in Christ. Don't just believe that, well, I believe Jesus, I believe that I'll go to heaven when I die. No, you need to believe all the stuff that the Bible says about you. And you need to actively and aggressively believe your sins are forgiven. God loves you. He's got a good plan for your life. Amen. That you've been made right with him, that you don't have to live under guilt and condemnation. That's the only way, even though you're going to go to heaven when you die, if you want to enjoy the journey, you got to believe all this other stuff too. Right? Okay, now. One last scripture, and then I'm going to get into these promises. Philippians 2, 12. This is such a good scripture in the Amplified Translation. So then, my dear ones, this is Paul writing to the Philippian church. So then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Now watch this. Continue to work out your salvation. Now, he didn't say continue to work for your salvation. He said continue to work out your salvation. That is, cultivate it, bring it to the full effect, actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. So if I were to tell you in my own words what I believe a righteous man is under the new covenant, this is what I would say. It's those who know that their self-righteousness is not acceptable to God. They have received the righteousness of God by faith in Christ, and now they daily live their life in fellowship with God, desiring to please him in all things and working with the Holy Spirit constantly toward spiritual maturity. So here's the thing. I no longer get up every day and try to do what's right so God will love me more, or so he'll be pleased with me. I know that I've been made right with God through faith, and now every day of my life, I make an effort. I strive in the Spirit. I work with the Holy Spirit to try to be the best version of me that I could possibly be. And I don't do it to get anything from God. I do it because I just can't help it. That's who I am. I love him. I want to please him, not because I want to get his love, but because I've already got it. And so I have real serious concern for people who call themselves Christians and don't care anything about changing. I have a problem with that. So there's only two things that can happen. Either they're not really true Christians, or they've never been taught properly to understand the way that we're to go about this. When you're born again, everything that you need to live a godly life is downloaded into your spirit. I mean, you got it. You have got it. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, the righteousness of God, wisdom. I mean, I go on and on and on and on and on. I mean, you've got it. You are pregnant, so to speak, in the spirit with everything that God is. Now all you got to do is give birth. And sometimes that's a bit painful. Come on, it's a great example. We can understand this easily. So you start out, a pregnant woman starts out, everything's a little seed. You look at her, you can't tell she's pregnant. She don't look pregnant. She's so excited. Oh, I'm so pregnant. And she weighs like 3 pounds, and you think, well, you sure don't look pregnant. Sometimes I've done this in the past, and I've made plans and had like maybe 6 or 7 pregnant women up on the platform with me, turned sideways, that are all at different stages in their pregnancy. And see, that's the way we are as believers. We're all at different stages in here. Some of you just haven't been saved very long, and you don't look godly. You don't act godly. But something's happening inside of you. You have a desire. And so then maybe somebody that's been born again for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, I mean, they're starting to show a little bit. You can actually think, you're a little different than the rest of the world. Wow, you've really changed. Well, you give them another 10 years and And then maybe another 5-10 years. And then pretty soon you get those people, you are so... You know how pregnant women walk, it's like... Because you're ready to give birth at any minute. Amen? And so some of you are like that today. You're just like, come on, I just need one more good push, the birth coach says, and you're going to have it. And you know, that's what we have to do. Paul says, I press toward the things that are ahead. Let me tell you something. Being a victorious Christian is not for a bunch of wimps. It's not for somebody that thinks all they need is a little 20-minute sermonette once a week. I mean, you need the word, and you need it downloaded on a regular basis, and you need somebody that will tell you the truth. Amen? So, anyway. I'm going to help you give birth today. All right. So, when you're that kind of person, you know who you are in Christ, and you are every day, you're like, God, I want to please you. God, change me. Convict me of what I mean, I love conviction. I am so happy now when God shows me that I'm acting bad or you shouldn't have said that. I don't get condemned by that anymore. I actually take it as a loving gesture by God that he loves me too much to just leave me in my mess and ignore me. You don't have to get condemned when you get convicted. You need to be joyful. You'd be much worse off if God just left you alone. All right. First promise to the righteous is peace and joy. Wow. Peace and joy. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking what one likes. Or you might say, the kingdom of God is not just getting everything you want. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We pay way too much attention to what's going on in our circumstances and not nearly enough about what's going on in our heart. Amen? I did that little exhortation this morning for people that had anger, bitterness, resentment. You could tell by the way everybody reacted that it was probably almost everybody here. Well... So, can I tell you truthfully in love? I don't even want to pray for you for a promotion at work or for more money or a bigger house or to date that guy you've been wanting to date. I want to pray for you, first of all, to forgive, to get rid of that junk that's poisoning your life, because that's much more important than getting what you want. And the interesting thing is if we cooperate with God in the spiritual stuff, the other stuff chases us and overtakes us. We don't have to try to get it. God chases us down and gives it to us. So let's focus on the right thing. The kingdom of God is, first of all, righteousness, knowing who you are in Christ. Then when you know who you are in Christ and you're doing your best every day to do what's right, I fail every day, but my heart's right. If your heart's right, you're not making an excuse for bad behavior. You hate it. You hate what God hates. You hate sin, and you want with all of your heart to change. That's a person who I believe is the righteousness of God in Christ. When you're like that, when you have that righteousness, the next thing you have is peace. Peace. There's nothing that gives you more peace than not to have to have a guilty conscience all the time. And then when you have peace, you have joy. And I believe that they come in that order. I don't think you can have joy without peace, and I don't think you can have peace without righteousness. So we need to start by knowing who we are in Christ, and then we're going to have peace, and then we're going to have joy. Forget about all the stuff you think you want and start learning who you are in Christ. Yes. Righteousness leads us to close fellowship with God. My. When you know that God's not mad at you, that he loves you, that he views you as being right with him, you can just talk to him about anything. You let him into every area of your life. You don't just live this ridiculous life all week and then go to church for 45 minutes on Sunday morning and think now you've paid your debt and then you go back and do the same thing all over again. No, when you know who you are in Christ, God just doesn't live in a little Sunday morning box in your life. He's into everything. He messes in how you dress and what you eat and who you hang out with and what you do with your free time and what you watch on television and what kind of movies you see and what you spend your money on. And see, a lot of people don't want God messing in that stuff. Well, let me tell you something. His plan's better than yours. It's so awesome to just be so totally in love with Jesus that you just don't, you don't have any interest in having a day without him.
Well, before we receive the promises that God makes to the righteous, we first need to learn what it means to be the righteousness of God in Christ. It's a wonderful gift that God gives to those who believe in Christ, but many don't even know that it's available to them. You can't release your faith for something if you don't know that you have it. So we want you to really learn who you are in Christ. Today we're offering you a book that I've written that I think is just, it's a good book, it's an encouraging book, it's a happy book, and it can be a life-changing book. It's called Living a Life That You Love. And you know, so many people really not only don't like their life, some people say they hate their life. A lot of people hate their jobs. We need to learn to live a life that we love. And if you don't love the life you're living, then you need to get with God, find out why, and make whatever changes you need to make. And we're offering this book to you today for your gift to the ministry of any amount. All we ask is that you do the very best that you can. We believe you're going to enjoy this book. We only get one life, so let's learn to love it.
Do you really love your life, or are you just kind of putting up with it, going through the motions day after day? You know what? If you are, I can help you. I've written a book called Living a Life That You Love, and with God's help, you can learn to do that. Order your copy today.
Today, we're offering Joyce's new book, Living a Life You Love, for your donation of any amount. Contact us 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
Some of these children have never, ever had a bath in their life. As we're taking layers off, we're finding wounds, burns that were never treated, and disfigured feet. It's tough to see how much they enjoy it. They've never had this before. So what is basic to us in the United States, these children have never had. So it's humbling.
I love that magazine she sends out.
There's something in there for everybody.
The Enjoying Everyday Life magazine is free. Subscribe at joycemeyer.org to read encouraging articles from Joyce and much more.
Reading through the magazine confirms for me God's at work.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.